podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Merry Christmas, everybody. And as you know, we are literally 3 days away from Christmas. Back in the day when there were no calendars and there were no wristwatches, time was not really of the essence. The idea was a life well lived. But the good news about time is it gives us deadlines. It gives us abilities to be able to measure success and all the things that we do. And as you know, while on the one hand the year is ending, you need to understand that that year that ends is delightfully and is well connected to the next. As we end the Christmas series, we spoke about Luke chapter 2 and how the angels came and proclaimed the coming of Jesus. And now in Luke chapter 2, verse 12, we continue. As we've read, this sign will be to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths laying in a manger. Last week, I made the simple point that Christmas is the arrival of the spiritual, which becomes physical. The simple truth of Christmas is that the spiritual, the thing that we don't see, the thing that we cannot get a hold of, has become physical. Thus, we now have the capacity as physical human beings to tap into the spiritual. Thus, we talked about the idea of the physical and the spiritual. We made the point that the physical is destructible, it's perishable, it's mortal, it's subject to destruction eventually over time, whether it's destroyed by someone or it perishes, that's just the way it works. The spiritual, on the other hand, is indestructible. You can't destroy it, which is why you want to spend a lot of time and energy putting things or investing in the spiritual, because it bleeds into the physical. But what you're doing is you're building things that are lasting, that are indestructible. Then we said that the physical is temporal, while the spiritual is eternal. The things that you want to invest in are the things that give you longevity, that give you measures of time and space over decades and centuries and way beyond your life. And finally, we talked about the idea of being limited and unlimited. Something that's physical has its limitations. And something that is spiritual is unlimited in nature. And we said that both of these have a source of power. One is human power. The other one is God's everlasting, immortal, never-ending, dunamis power. Things that you cannot do, God can do for you, through his power. Verse 13 goes on then to say, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. And there's a distinguishing mark here where it distinguishes between an angel and a heavenly host. These are probably the saints of God from the Old Testament, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is Christmas. This is the ultimate message. The spiritual has become physical. The physical can now enjoy the spiritual. The point of all of this is to God be the glory. That as we live our lives and people look at us and people see us, we are literally helping transform society and helping glorify God as they see us live our lives in the physical. The physical and the spiritual, this is essentially what it is. The same way that your physical body has needs is the same way that your spiritual life has needs. In other words, if you don't do certain things with your physical body, that physical body is going to decay faster. In the same way that there are needs in the physical, there are very critical needs in the spiritual. Your brain, for example, if it doesn't get enough oxygen, we know from science that within 4 or 5 minutes, certain cells of the brain deteriorate. And the expansion of that deterioration can lead to brain hypoxia, which can actually lead to death. In other words, your physical body needs air. Cannot survive on this earth without air, because without it, we're dead. I mean, think about the idea of not breathing for the next 5 minutes or the next 10 minutes. The physical and the spiritual has requirements. The physical demands air. The spiritual demands prayer. To pray is like breathing. To pray is actually similar to air. When you look at air, you don't see it. But you know it's there. It's the same with God. It's the same with prayer. We don't see God, but we know he's there. It's one thing to acknowledge that God is present everywhere. Prayer changes the present to what is known as his presence. Because what you're doing when you're praying is you're acknowledging and saying, God, you're here. Every time we pray, we do that. And that's what we want to do. That's what you want to do. That's what I did this morning. That's what I do every morning. That's what I do at lunchtime. That's what I do every opportunity I have, because it's like breathing. And when your breathing is impaired, you're going to suffer. In the same way that when your prayer life is suffering, you will suffer. Your spiritual life will suffer, because there should be nothing that blocks your ability to pray. Your prayer life should be so real and so constant that you're doing what Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That's the same with breathing, right? I mean, you can't cease from breathing. The same way you shouldn't be ceasing from praying. That's why the religious is not a good idea. Because when we're just religious and we just do things on a Sunday or on a particular day or a certain hour of the day, we miss out on the reality that the spiritual is not religious. The spiritual is very real. It's a very real part of who you are. And that reality does not survive without air or without prayer. The same way that you breathe, you do not cease from breathing. The same way you do not cease from praying. That word without ceasing is the Greek word adialeptos. The idea is constantly recurring without interruption. That's what breathing is. You're constantly doing it, and without interruption, you're walking and you see something, you're praying, you have a thought, you have a text message from a friend, you have an issue at the office. Whatever it is you're doing, you're constantly on gear to pray because you're breathing. In the same way that your physical body cannot last without breathing, is the same way you cannot last without praying. Nike says, just do it. What the Holy Spirit is saying, just breathe. Amen? Just breathe. If you want to know and never forget how to pray, just think about breathing. And then turn that into nature, something that's natural, something that's second nature to you, something that you just do without thinking. That's what culture is. That's what nature is. You just don't even think about it. That's just who you are, because you're a spiritual being. And in Jesus, Christmas, He gave you that ability. That's why you celebrate Christmas. It's not the gifts, folks. It's not the Lego toys. Amen? I'm going to be with my grandkids in a few days. And I'll tell you what, I'm happy. I'm looking forward to it. But there's one thing I make sure when we celebrate our Christmas, our family gathers together. There's three things we do. We have a cake for Jesus. And we sing Him a happy birthday and remind all our children and grandchildren, for the last 37 years, it's not your birthday. While you're going to get gifts because Jesus is so generous, it is not your birthday. That's the first thing we did. We're going to do it on the 25th. We're going to have dinner with everybody, and we're going to tell our children, our grandchildren, it is not your birthday, and the cake comes out. My wife always buys a cake with the happy birthday Jesus and a candle, and we sing happy birthday to Him. The second thing we do is we make sure that our house is open, because that's what happened on Christmas Day. There's always room at the inn. My son called and said, hey, Pop, I know your house is a lot smaller now. I've just moved house and scaled down. And said, but I've got these Japanese guys that they don't have anywhere to go, and would you be open to that? Sure, you know our policy. Our house is always open on Christmas Day, because there's always room at the inn, amen? And the last thing we always do at Christmas Day is we receive communion to remind everybody, Jesus is our God, and He saved us. Because I want to teach my kids how to breathe deeply. I don't want just this to breathe. I want them to learn how to breathe deep. Friday evening, I walked 20,471 steps. I walked 13.2 kilometers just breathing the air of Singapore. But more importantly, you know what I did? I just started praying for this nation, praying for the church. I walk a lot. When you're 62 years old, you need to walk a lot, amen? Because you can't run a lot. you just have to figure out another way of doing life. The point is air. You need to pray. If you're going to have a great spiritual life next year, you better know how to pray. The second point is your body needs nutrition. It needs food and water. Because without food and water, your body's not going to live. Now in the spiritual, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone. It is not enough to just give yourself nutritional food, because that's not how man lives. But every word that comes from the mouth of God, the word of God is part of your food. It is a need for your spiritual life. Without it, you die. And again, we find the problem with just being religious. We come to church and punch in our spiritual time clock. Some of you, this is your first day in church because it's Christmas. Amen? This is the first time you're going to hear the Word of God. You need the Word of God just as much as you need bread every day. This is what churches do. They tell you and remind you what you need. You need nutrition for your body and you need the Word. The Word is important. In the same way that 80% of health, if you want to be healthy, you better eat right. That's the bottom line. After years and years and decades of research, the bottom line is, if you sleep well and you eat right, you're going to be healthy. And if you drink a lot of water, you're never going to have reflux. Amen? Some of you, the reason why you have so much reflux is because you just lack water. You're just so acidic. How many of you know that water is good? And water is from God. Same way that nutrition is for your physical body, it matters what you put in your body. If you put junk, you're going to get junky results. It's just life. It's the same with your brain and your mind and your soul and your spirit. But if all you do is watch movies and videos, and there's nothing wrong with movies. I had an entire 5 days of Christmas binge. Every Christmas, I watch the same movies. My favorite all-time movie is, believe it or not, Jingle All the Way. I love old Arnold Schwarzenegger. I love that scene when that boy says, he knows my name. I cry every time I watch that. My second favorite movie is It's a Wonderful Life. It's a 1940s movie. And I just watch that every year at Christmas time. But there's nothing wrong with movies. It's just watching what you feed yourself. It's not about being legalistic. It's about having life in Jesus. The point is, we spend money on what is not bread. This is God speaking to the people of Israel. And your labor on what does not satisfy. Why are you wasting your time on things that don't really satisfy? Why not spend our money on nuts, bread, and what that does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. He's talking about this idea of nutrition. And he says the way you eat this food is you listen. What are you listening to? How can you eat and listen? Because what you're eating is the Word. And when you listen, you eat what is good. And you delight in the richest of fare. The richest things you can ever have in your life come when you listen to the Word. Finally, he says in verse 3, give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. The Bible was only printed in the 1500s. So what did the people of faith do between the first 4,000 years? They listened to the Word. Nutrition and the Word. But the Word is not just something you listen to. When the Bible says that, what it's really referring to is this idea of meditating on the Word, of being consumed by the Word, that you rationalize and you reason life from the Word. When I say meditate, I don't mean I have to stop my life to do this. When I say meditate, what I mean is your mind is consumed by the Word. That's why it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. How do you do that? How does something stay on my lips forever? When it's in my heart, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When I put that in my heart, my lips will always speak it. My reasoning, the way I reason life, the way I reason my marriage, my relationships, my health, my finances, everything I do, are reasoned from the Word. How do I do that? You meditate on it day and night. You take a verse and say, this is what I'm going to chew on today. Back in those days, there were no time clocks. There were no watches. The way they did it was day and night, which means 24 hours. It didn't say, you know, just meditate on it 1 hour or have a devotion in the morning or have a devotion in the evening. It says day and night. In other words, you reason your life and your world through the Word so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Because as you do that, the promise is, then you will be prosperous and successful. You're going to see how your relationships work, your marriage works, your health works, your finances work, your job works. because you've learned how to meditate, this thing that my spirit needs. My body does have needs, but my spirit also has needs. Now, the third thing you need is clothing. The spirit has clothes. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 3 says, your nakedness will be exposed and your shame uncovered. If you're not clothed in the spirit, your nakedness will be exposed. People will know you're naked. It's going to be obvious. The way you walk your life, the way you do life, the way your life works, it's going to be obvious, and you're going to be embarrassed. Maybe not now. Got a lot of friends, folks. You live 62 years, you have a lot of friends. I've got young friends, old friends, and I've got friends that, you know, I talked to them about some of these about 20 years ago. Now that they're in their 50s and they didn't listen, it's beginning to show. You know, it's easy to cover things up when you're younger, amen? You use less makeup, amen? It doesn't matter who you are. You're getting here. You are physical, thus you are temporal. And if you're smart, you're going to start clothing yourself with something. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. You? Why? My soul rejoices in my God. Why? Because he has clothed me with garments of salvation. That's what Jesus did. He saved you. Not just saved you, he arrayed me with a robe of righteousness. There's a righteousness that you wear. Your life works right. That's what righteous is. The areas of your life, your relationship with God, your relationship with the people around you, your health and your finances are all working together, and thus, it's right. The starting point of that is not physical. The starting point of that is spiritual. You wear a robe of righteousness. You wear it. And it's given to you. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. You cannot buy it. It's too expensive. It would be like that suit. I can't afford it. Thank God somebody gave it to me, right? The robe of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, put on the new self, created in God like true righteousness and holiness. In other words, you wear this thing. You just know that's my clothing. I am made right in God by Jesus Christ. He has saved me. Clothing. What is that in the spirit? It's the gospel. The gospel is not a one-time event in your life where you heard a message in some church service. The gospel is a daily thing that you wear. Romans 8 verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You wear that robe because you know in Jesus, all my sins are paid. I wear that gospel every day. I wear it and I just don't wear it by just knowing the gospel. I proclaim that on my life every day. I have different versions of that. Sometimes I'm shaving, and while I'm shaving, I'm going to tell myself something like this. You know what, Joey, you're a good guy, you're a nice guy. Kind of like you've got some things that you got right, but you know what? At the end of the day, you're a sinner headed for hell apart from Jesus. Amen? I just keep reminding myself, you're going to make mistakes is my point. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how great you are, your weaknesses may not be mine, but you do have weaknesses, and I do have weaknesses too. And the only way you can get out of those is to learn how to proclaim that gospel in your life. In fact, that's a muscle. That's a spiritual muscle. You should get so used to it that every time the devil tries to hurt you or accuse you or banish you or isolate you, you just pull out that card and say, Jesus died for me. And all my sins are paid. And that's good news. Do not walk in condemnation. This is necessary. This is important. If you're going to have a spiritual life, these are your essentials. Pray. Breathe the presence of God. Meditate on the word. Eat that word on a regular basis. Proclaim that gospel. Every time you get naked and embarrassed and the devil tells you you're not worth it, you look back at him and say, I resist you because the Bible says there is now no condemnation for me. This is what Jesus did for you. Make it a muscle. Get so used to it that every time something goes wrong, God, I plead your blood. Thank you that you forgive me. You can make mistakes. There is now no condemnation. I don't let that thing sit for 5 minutes. I kill that thing at the root. Every instance I have, I proclaim that gospel. That is essential if we're going to live. We're going to have to be clothed in righteousness. And finally, shelter. You can't have a physical life without air, nutrition, without clothing, and certainly without shelter. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household." We're not just members of a kingdom. We're actually children of God, because that's what Jesus did. He came to earth and made us children of God. And he says this household is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In other words, the very reason why this house works is because of Jesus. Then he explains what the house looks like. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. He's talking about this building. He's talking about the church. The biggest mistake we've made through years and generations is we think the church is a building. The church is actually not a building. The church is people. When we leave here, this becomes a movie theater. The church has left. Amen? This is not the church. The church is the people that God has joined together. And when you go to church and attend church and punch your spiritual time clock, but never really get involved in the fabric of the relationships of the people, you just didn't go to church. You went to a building. That's the truth. So many people go to buildings. They don't really go to church. They don't understand what church is. Further, it says in verse 22, "And in him you two are being built together, relationships, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." That's the church. In short, our shelter is fellowship. Our shelter is us being joined together. There's about 20 or 30 of these in the Bible. Let me give you just about 10 of them. Be devoted to one another. And that's why the essence is even coming to church. That's part of being devotion. Do you know what devote is? If you have X percent of money, right? If you have $10,000 or $5,000 or $2,000 in salary, you devote, you set aside something for your rent. That's devotion. It's the same. When you say, "I'm going into fellowship, I am devoting, I am setting aside something, the energy and the time to make that happen," because without that devotion, it won't happen. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Consider others better than you. It's not always when you come to church, "So why is he here? Why is that?" No, you don't even know that person. You haven't even met that person yet. Love one another. Accept one another. You know what I've learned through the years is people are all different. And everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses. Instruct one another. That's what we're doing right now. We're instructing you. Care for one another. Serve one another. Encourage one another. You know, if you're just showing up at the gym, you're encouraging people. By just wearing your gym clothes and people see you, you're encouraging people. I saw a woman just say no to a bottle of Coke, and I decided not to because I just saw her example. I don't even know who she is. Your behavior. Pray for one another. And finally, carry one another's burdens. As the tail end of this month came, we had a phone call about one of our members had an accident and had to be rushed to the hospital. What was interesting was the number of calls and people and visitors that showed up and the support. And then there was one of our members, their baby died. If you had lose a baby at Christmas time, I don't know about you, that's not easy. It was interesting how many of you showed up. I was actually so thrilled and said, "God, I'm so happy I'm in this church. It's the real deal. It's not just where people attend." It was genuine fellowship, because that's what it takes to build a spiritual life. Same way that you need air, you need to pray. The same way that you need nutrition, you need to meditate on the Word day and night. The same way that you need clothing, if I can get you there, it's the same way you need to keep proclaiming the gospel over your life. And the same way that you need shelter is the way you need fellowship. Amen? Merry Christmas, everybody. Let me just close with a word of prayer. Ask you to stand up, if you may join me. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Can you look up here for a minute? I want to teach you a little short muscle. I've learned to laugh with God. Every time I think about how much it cost God to bless me, when I pray, I walk and I laugh. Just to make me feel good and think, whoa, I got a bargain here. I got the best deal in the universe. My prayer is that you break your religious spirit about Christmas and about life. This is about the spiritual life. The spiritual has become physical. Thus, the physical can become spiritual. Amen? Close your eyes. And if that's your faith, would you just lift up your hands towards heaven as an act of faith? Lord, we just bless you. We thank you for giving us Jesus. And Jesus, we love you. Merry Christmas. We're looking forward to celebrating your birthday. Just be a tradition. But we want to honor you. We want to glorify you. We want to proclaim your name to ourselves and to others. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.